Some days life feels perfect, other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing, we can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable, broken, live or die. So speak life. Tongue gets twisted, other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't, it's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable, hope can live or die. So speak life. Like fire, hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. Raise your thoughts a little higher, use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher, spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say.
Good evening, Namibia, and a warm welcome to Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station. Of course, this is Life Lessons. And I'm your host, Nafa. Happy Juju here to bring you yet another interesting conversation with my co-host,
Mr. Joseph Atkinson Address.
Welcome. Welcome, obviously. It's good to be and here. Tonight we're having a very interesting conversation. And let me say, not just interesting, but rather
educational.
Exactly. Educational, a must-have conversation. And I think we should probably have those conversations more often. And I have my guest with me in studio tonight to talk about this very interesting conversation. It's a pleasure to have my guest. And we're talking about Matthews Shahama. A very good evening to you and welcome.
Good evening, ma'am. Thank you for having me on
here. It's a pleasure to have you on here and talk about this this conversation that I think it's a long time coming. What do you think?
It's been a long time.
Yeah. Before I actually introduce my guest, which I normally don't do, ask my guests to state, to introduce themselves. I normally introduce my own guest. But then I think I would want to hear from you why this is the right person to have. One, for sure, I will tell you that he is a road safety user, advocate, or road safety influencer. And apart from that, he also plays his part in ensuring that you get your learner's license. But we'll get into that later. Who is Mr. Matthews Shehama?
I'm just a normal human being.
Okay.
I wouldn't really say there's something any special added to it. I'm just a Matthews that is trying to, that has seen so much a lot going on our roads.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've then decided, nah, this cannot be happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's high time that we take a major step and see what we can do about it.
Yeah.
Other than that, I'm a road safety advocate. Worked for the Roads Authority, where I served as a licensing officer.
Okay.
And now the most followed learners and drivers license influencer on TikTok.
Wow, interesting. Yes. We'll get into why that is so.
Yes.
We'll get into why that is so. Yes.
Yeah.
Let me throw the mic to my co-host.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, my co-host. What do you think about this conversation? Before we even dig into it, why do you think it's very necessary at this particular point in time?
Right. I think it's extremely important for us to have this conversation because, number one, we have a lot of mental health issues that are contributing to roads unsafety, right?
And I never thought like that.
And we have a lot of things happening. It's drugs, it's alcohol use, it's just reckless driving. It's too young people who are too young to drive, perhaps, or who are too young to be trusted with a vehicle and things like that.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things. And then there's a lot of... One of the things I don't like on the road, people are very, like a lot of drivers are not very cautious when it comes to how to do things on the road, how to drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they break a lot of rules and then you have people who swear at others when maybe you are trying to get a space. Maybe you took the wrong lane because you know you can take a wrong lane, you know, just honestly, like you take a wrong lane and then you go on. Then you try to signal to somebody to say, okay, let me go in front of you or something, and people don't want and things like that.
Nah.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on the roads.
Okay.
But I think it's really important for us to have this conversation because it's going to educate us drivers.
Perhaps sensitize a lot of drivers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Matthews, back to you. You mentioned something very critical, which I do appreciate, about noticing some of the things that are happening on the road, which prompted you to also want to play your part. And I think I could almost safely to say, if all of us could have that sort of mindset to say, let me play my part. You know, statistics are being put out there. Every now and then you're hearing about somebody got bumped. Every now and then you're hearing somebody spinal cord C4, C5 got broken and now the person is paralyzed, weighs down and quadriplegic. Okay. It's been a long time since I think I've used the medical terminology. But anyway, so yeah, you mentioned something very, very important right there.
Yeah.
And I think I want to get to the core of it to see what are some of those things that really touched you or moved you to say, you know what? I'm not going to be standing on the side and just watching. I'm really going to get into the game and contribute my part.
Thank you very much. That's a beautiful question. Well, for starters, we looked at the high accident rates. You see, road traffic crashes remain one of the leading causes of injury and death, particularly in among the youth and the working class.
Yeah.
And then we also looked at limited access to drivers' education, quality drivers' education. That's missing. We have had this long time used old traditional way of doing things. I think it's high time we move away from that. And then we also have weak enforcement and penalties. For instance, I can give you an example of driving under the influence of alcohol. The penalty is $8,000 as bail.
Okay.
Why do you think we still have people that are driving under the influence of alcohol on our national roads?
Nah.
It's simply because it's a weak penalty. And it's a repeated offense, and we have repeated offenders that kept doing driving under the influence of alcohol because they know they can access the 8,000 from a friend and come and pay the fine. The last thing is socioeconomic impact. You see, now our hospitals are flooded with so many
patients
like victims of road accidents.
Yeah.
And it's not a secret. Now, road accidents has now become the common leading cause of death in Namibia. And as much as we have these leading
leading cause of accidents.
These leading entities that are championing road safety and all that. There's still enough that has to be done. There's still more that the conversations that we need to have, such as this one,
mm-hmm.
and more that really need to be done, especially. I don't want to mention the name, but I feel like those entities that are now championing this road safety, I don't think there's much that they are really doing compared to what we have established.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. So, okay. You mentioned about the quality education there for drivers, right?
Yes.
Can you just elaborate more on that? Because I didn't get the gist of it. I kind of understand it a bit, but...
yeah, let's get into his brain a little bit.
Yeah.
Look, my organization and myself, we came up with a specialized driver's course.
Okay.
we looked at the traditional way of doing things when somebody just gets a learner's license,
mm-hmm.
maybe through a shortcut, I don't know.
Yeah, honestly, through a shortcut.
People are looking for shortcuts because most of the people are desperate.
Mm.
And then this particular person goes
through. Are they desperate or are they ignorant? Which one is it?
It's a bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. Then people go to a driving school.
Mm-hmm.
What more do we learn from a driving school? It's basically moving a vehicle from point A to B, where we do a reverse, which is called backing up, and then 3-point turn on an incline, and then parallel parking. But then we came up with a course that has 15 modules, okay, where we learn about grouping and understanding common leading of causes of road accidents.
Of the course as well.
Yes, grouping, because you first need, if you know how to group road accidents, then we'll have beautiful statistics to say, like, for instance, what you've told me, that 72% of road crashes are human factors.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now we have common grouping and understanding the common leading causes of road accidents.
Yeah.
We have empathy on the road. And most of the things that I'm going to mention right now, you don't learn about them from a driving school.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's
we have empathy on the road.
Mm-hmm.
We have road ethics and attitude coaching.
No, road ethics.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And attitude coaching.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Part of the accidents that we have that are happening right now, it's because of our attitude.
Lack of ethical behavior.
Exactly. We have stress and anger in management.
Ooh.
He mentioned about road rage.
Yeah.
That comes from stress and anger. And then we have road rage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have digital wellness and distraction management while driving.
Yeah.
And I think that one is becoming now very, very common.
Yes.
Very common. Sorry to cut you there, but or to interject right there, but I remember there was a time I was a passenger to this person, and I don't want to be very specific, but this particular person was on the phone the whole time. We drove from here, Kleinwendoek, all the way to Katutura, and he was on the phone texting the whole time. And I'm like, is this how you drive? That's a complete distraction, that so many are so distracted on the roads because of digital activities and access to it.
And we are quiet about it because most passengers are scared to speak up when they encounter a driver like that.
I didn't speak up either.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then we have eco-driving and fuel efficiency. You
what
know, it's the ways on how to save fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because we have had complaints of fuel prices and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but we do not look at how we manage our vehicles, how we manage our speeds, and all that. And then we have first aid for drivers. That one very important.
That one is very lacking.
Very important.
Yes.
And it's really important because, I mean, if you come across an accident on the road, somewhere very far, somewhere, you know, where there's a long stretch far away from hospitals, far away from anything, any service station, how are you actually going to help the next person if you don't have any idea what you should do?
Exactly. So we have now our first aid for drivers because the reason why we decided to do first aid for drivers is because we realized the first thing, you know, drivers are the first responders to any road accident.
Yes, that's true.
It's your fellow drivers that will respond to you. Mm-hmm. So if we then train every driver to become a responsible first aider. That helps us a lot. Okay. I've encountered an accident last night. I've spoken to you about it.
Yeah.
It took 44 minutes for an ambulance to be dispatched from Katutura Hospital while the incident just happened at the Swebo headquarters.
Imagine
that.
And the hospital is just there.
I think that's logistics failure.
Yeah.
I'm sure people did not, somebody received a call, they were busy with something to inform the next person to say, dispatch an ambulance. I think it's
exactly
that's what they
receives
getting.
The call. What yes. usually happens is that the fund receives the call, okay. and then somebody in the call center in the fund dispatches an ambulance. It's
from the state
fund.
Hospital.
No.
Or the ambulance from the MVA.
Any accident that happens in Namibia, this is actually what happens. Yeah. Any accident, whichever place in Namibia, whether in Sossus Freye, in Windhoek, in Ketmanshoop, in Rundu. The call goes straight to the motor vehicle. The motor vehicle accident fund of Namibia. If somebody perhaps says, okay, I know David Chiama works for AEMS ambulance services, for instance. AEMS still has the responsibility to notify MVA fund that there's this accident and they're going out. You understand? So in most cases, the call goes to the motor vehicle accident fund and then they are responsible to dispatch an ambulance as well as police to the scene. So I don't know, but I'm thinking in my head whether this is right. Shyama, you'll obviously also correct me. If for instance, now drivers had the capacity and the knowledge on how to give first aid, maybe depending on the injury they assess, they could say, okay, I can actually safely take this patient to the hospital because it's nearby. But then again, because they lack the knowledge, they can't do that. They won't be able to assess.
Of course, and there are risk involved. Yeah, you know what? If you have observed quite well, the first thing that most drivers do, they pull their cameras out. if anything happens, let's say between Oshivarongo and Otavi, even before you are notified, if you are keen of that particular person, you first have to see it on social media before you formally inform that your relative has passed on. So that has now become the nature of today's drivers that we have. But if we train our drivers, it's just because they lack awareness. But if we train our drivers, then we'll have better drivers, well-informed drivers that are coming from a well-informed position. And then we have basic vehicle maintenance.
Very important.
How many of our drivers look at even their daily, like, do they know even what their daily checks are or monthly checks are?
Even the tire of the road, the vehicle.
The pressure.
Do they just get into it?
How many millimeters?
As I was driving here, I just remembered that I was supposed to check the water.
Ah.
I haven't checked it in weeks.
Exactly.
So I'm just like, okay, so maybe
like,
I'll check it.
Water level, those are weekly checks. And then
it's
we have weekly checks, monthly checks, and then we have yearly checks. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we have, skid, vehicle controls and skid recovery. I will explain that later. And then we have hazard perception. Because sometimes we're just driving on the road, but we do not know how to spot hazards. Mm-hmm. So these are some of the things that we are going to teach. And then we have safe following distances.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Which a lot of people don't observe, even
exactly.
taxi drivers. From what I know, you should be able to see the tires of the road, of the car in front of you, but no.
Exactly.
Yeah. You should be able to see where the car in front of you's tire
yeah.
touches the ground. If you yeah. can see that, then it's a little bit safer.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a 2-minute
rule.
Yeah, right? There's a 3 seconds rule.
3 seconds is not 2 minutes. 2 second rule. 3 second rule. Yeah.
Okay, that explain that one. I don't know.
The 3 seconds rule is when you spot. Let me say you're following a vehicle and you spot something, either a signage, or maybe a tree, and then you count down. If you count down, let's say you say 3 second one, 3 second two, 3 second three. If you reach that specific thing that you have spotted before you could count down to the 3 seconds, which basically means you are too close to that vehicle.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Interesting.
So it's always advisable that we keep a safe following distance to avoid these rear collisions that are happening.
Yeah.
Okay, and then we have collision avoidance and maneuvers and handling.
Which a lot of people lack too.
Yes.
Is that where defensive driving comes in?
Defensive driving is the last one on the list. That's
okay.
That's when defensive, the last one on the list is defensive driving.
Explain this one that you just mentioned now.
Defensive driving, you
no,
know.
No.
The first one. The one before then.
Oh, collision. Collision avoidance, maneuvers and handling.
Mm-hmm.
It's more the same as, it's not really, you know, defensive driving, it's a complex thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we speak of defensive driving, you think of being on just behind the wheel and you are doing all these maneuvers to avoid collisions, but it's a complex thing.
Okay.
It's more or less the same as spotting hazards, like for instance on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if where you learn how to coexist with pedestrians and cyclists and any other road user.
Yeah.
Because we are not really patient with each other. We do not want to coexist. We don't even want to be patient with the guys that are learning how to drive on our national roads. But we came from the very same road to get to where we are today, but we do not want to coexist.
Mm-hmm.
So defensive driving, it's a very major thing, and it's not just limited to what I've seen now,
mm-hmm.
the trainings that are going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
They are necessary, but there's more to it that we need to talk about in order to reduce preventable road accidents.
Mm-hmm. And yes. I think the maneuvering of trying to avoid accidents and whatnot is quite the basics.
It's quite the basics, yeah.
Okay.
But there's more to it.
Okay.
Yeah, but like I'm looking at it from this point. I think I'm not too bad when it comes to collision avoidance, because I've been avoiding a lot of collisions.
Oh my word.
Yeah, and one of the things that I do is to think for the next guy, for the other driver. Because you see, if you're going to an through an intersection, you still need to you just because the robots are green on your side to say you can go doesn't mean you should just go blindly.
Exactly.
You still need to look.
I keep saying that, especially when I'm crossing
in the mirrors and check before, because I've seen a lot of that. I've had an accident once where I bumped somebody from behind.
Yeah,
I was approaching the robots. That person was already stationary and waiting for the robots to go green. Now they happened to go green just before I got there. Like I was quite far from him, so. He started moving, but I think the car switched itself off or something. After it just started moving, so when it started moving, I looked somewhere or something, thinking that the car in front of me has because it has actually started moving into the robots, but it didn't. So
you got distracted,
and then I just I just hit him from behind, and then it's my fault. Then I had to fix the other guy's car and mine.
Exactly, you are at fault because you have not kept the safe following distance.
Things.
You know, part of the rules, if you have read your learner's license book and the learner's license and driver's license manual book, it says if you're approaching an intersection that is controlled by traffic lights, you need to start reducing your speed. But during peak times, everyone is rushing, trying to go through, and it becomes chaotic, especially when the places in Katutura, You find a four-way stop that has come to a complete standstill because we are so impatient to each other. Everyone is just trying to get a chance to get through, but we are not compliant to the road rules and regulations.
Yeah, that is really true. Okay, so what do you make of the of these people who? Because I've had a lot of incidents, well, near crashes or whatever I could call it. Like I nearly bumped, I think several times, I nearly bumped people. You see these guys who are not all right in the in the head?
Mentally unstable people.
Yeah?
Okay.
And they just wander about. And they are not wearing anything. Like in the night, they are not wearing any protective clothing. Reflective clothing. They can just walk into a car and they are at intersections. It's those, and then it's the other guys who are selling stuff.
Yeah.
On the road. Yeah. Now we are trying to change lanes, and then, you know.
Yeah.
All that.
That's when hazard perception comes in.
Yeah.
If you are trained on, how to spot hazards as a driver.
Okay, I think we're going to go for a bit of a commercial break. Right. Then we can pick up on that one because it's a very, very important topic.
Yes, it is. Okay. Thank you.
We'll be back shortly. Please stay tuned. We're not going anywhere.
Care that builds with you. That's the rollover benefit from NHB. When you claim less than a defined amount of your day-to-day benefits in a year, the unused amount is carried over for the next year, like a savings account for your health. You can use your rollover benefit in many ways, from co-payments to medical costs usually not covered, even contribution holidays. Learn more at nhb.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHB, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHB, we're about you.
Okay, my turn.
Hold on, just let me finish my story. As I was saying, my man, you've been finishing your story for 10 minutes now. Even my chassis is getting warm.
Just give more eyes. Anyways, long story short.
Oh, hi. When you're talking, it's a short story long.
Short stories turn long. Go best together with Tassenberg. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We are joined in studio by Mr. Matthews Shahama. And of course, Mr.
Andreas. Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Why am I putting so much humor to it?
No, but I actually prefer my name, full name being said as
Mr. Joseph Kashindi Andreas.
Yes.
Yeah, me too. I prefer my whole name. So please. Anyway, please, let's start off where we left off. If that makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're talking about the people who are selling on the road at the intersections, the big robots, and then the other ones who are mentally unstable.
Yeah.
Who can just walk into a vehicle and there was even one time I was driving to Rehoboth, was it? No, to Khrotob. Mm-hmm. And then this man just came from nowhere, and then they just walked into the road, and they were just walking. If there was a car coming from in front of me, I would have had a collision with that car because I was avoiding him.
Yeah.
Because he was just walking like there's no car coming, you see? So I don't know what the law also says about these things. Like people like that, can't they be removed? I mean, by the police perhaps or something like that? Not the sellers, but the mentally unstable ones. Because the sellers, I don't know. I know they're making their bread and stuff like that, but
yeah, that becomes quite challenging with mentally challenged people.
Yeah.
But it starts with you as a driver. Mm-hmm. If you are trained on how to spot hazards, which is called hazard perception, then you would understand how to deal with these kinds of hazards. Because these are not just people that are just roaming on the road. They are hazards. Mm-hmm. It's like a kid playing on the road, playing soccer on the road.
Yeah.
If you have gone through our course and understand and learn how to spot this kind of hazards, then maybe you as a driver will come from an informed point of view,
yeah,
where you know, because hazards are not really things that you always expect. I mean, you feel like you shouldn't expect them, but these are things that happen every now and then. Yeah, it's part of our lives.
Yeah.
Now, with these pedestrians that are just roaming around on the road, the guys that are trying to make bread here and there, we need to have a serious conversation, because these people do not know anything about hazards. They do not know that they pose a threat to road users.
Mm.
They don't know that. But if we come up with a program that educates pedestrians, both pedestrians and drivers,
I
think we'll meet each other halfway, and then these people will have an idea. This now reminds me of the speed humps that are placed on the freeway.
Oh yeah. I was going to come to that one later.
I don't know if I have an opinion on it, guys. But please.
No, because I've driven on them by mistake. Yeah. I actually thought that these things were just from...
Yeah, it's only when I drove on them that I realized it's annoying.
It's very annoying, and it's bad for our shocks, for the shocks of the car. Like all the cars, the shock absorbers, it's really not good. And it's on a highway.
Yeah.
That road, the B1, is a highway. So I actually didn't think it was coming into town. Like it has come until somewhere in near Kajua Hospital there, on that road. It came until there, like... I thought it was only Brakvater side, because I have not driven that side since that happened. But the other time I was just coming from Natis.
Yeah.
And I took the highway from the road that goes to Monte Cristo. And it's all speed humps. You know, I was like, what?
But guys, okay, fine. I understand. Most of the people are aggrieved, but let's look at it from a different point of view.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not supporting, I'm not for, I'm not against. I just want to look at it from a different view, viewpoint. Okay. Now, we have learned and we have heard, there are numbers that can be provided that most pedestrians have been run over, on the B1 road. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, most people didn't care about that. Most road users didn't care about that. Okay, here, I want you guys to hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
Most road users, mostly the drivers, a few of those, I don't want to say everyone,
mm-hmm,
most people were not concerned about.
And are still not concerned.
Yeah, and still are not concerned about those that were being run over,
mm-hmm,
on that specific area. So nobody went there to toy. Nobody approached the courts to try and mitigate the situation of pedestrians being run over there. And I understand most people say that pedestrians are not allowed on the freeway. Okay? The book actually says you may not be on foot on the freeway except in the parking area or for a cause beyond your control.
Yeah.
Remember, those guys are now there for a cause beyond their control, because they need to access industrials where they are employed. So now, how do we then mitigate the situation? So then the ministry,
mm-hmm,
opted for speed humps temporary, and it was information that the speed humps are temporary. While we are exploring and weighing all the possible options to now try and mitigate the whole situation. So I feel like it all comes back to sitting around the table and really discuss, have this kind of conversations,
mm-hmm,
where we meet each other halfway. It's not always that the other party is wrong,
mm-hmm,
and you are right. But if you guys bring ideas together, at the end of the day, we'll come to a common ground.
Well, it's good, mm-hmm, that you said that. But the whole thing is, in all the countries I've been to that trying to make the best of the economic resources they have,
mm-hmm,
they just build flyovers over the road. That's it. You build a bridge thing. And those things are not expensive. If we talk to our brothers from China, they can just bring cheap materials that are strong enough,
mm-hmm,
and you can build a flyover.
I understand
now,
that.
Now, to put the speed humps, like the other day, I was really trying to rush somewhere. I was picking my kids from school, I think, and I dropped my son. No, I was dropping my kids to school. I dropped my son at night, just this week, for him to go and book. And I couldn't get on time to school because I was just driving very slowly because the cars were so many on the on that highway, which is supposed to be a highway. It's really not good. Building a flyover is a solution that we can have.
I think I want to keep my mind open to different options. I hear you. Now, for instance, you speak about when you want to go somewhere. Obviously, when somebody wants to go somewhere faster, they'll use the highway. You understand?
That's why it's called the highway in the first place.
Yeah, but so, then a lot of people, they go beyond the limit. They drive excessively beyond the speed limit. And that's where accidents come in.
That's the problem,
So now, how do we then get to have still a highway which doesn't have speed bumps, which is what a lot of people want? I don't know how many people are for and against, but let's assume that a lot of people want the speed humps removed. How then do we combat the accidents that are happening on the highway? What is the solution apart from the flyover that you speak about, the bridge, which perhaps obviously now is not being built now? How do we do that to get to a solution?
Let me touch a little bit on the speed humps, because I really want the listeners and yourselves to get a very clear overview of where I'm coming from.
Okay.
Look, had the ministry decided to build up a pedestrian overhead bridge, wouldn't it have distracted the drivers?
During the building time?
Yeah.
Oh, you cross off the road and you tell us that the road is closed.
We still complain. What?
Exactly. No, you guys.
The complaints will be less because you're doing it for a better reason. You know these things, how they came. I don't know how many people were told that we are going to put speed humps in on the highway. I don't know how many people were told before it happened, so that you can even prepare and say, okay, let me not even take that road or something.
I don't think it will help. You know?
Maybe there was a communication problem. I have no idea if something was communicated, but the fact that if I know a lot of people are used to driving a little bit faster on the freeway. Okay. Yeah. Now, when you get accustomed to doing something and there are certain changes that are made on that specific area, it will take you a very long period of time to adjust to the changes. So, as much as we have had those rear end accidents on the freeway due to the speed humps that are placed on there.
Yeah.
I think it also comes down to the non-compliance of many road users. If the road signs, if the warnings are put there, why don't we then just comply to the road signs that are put there?
That's a good question.
why don't we comply? I understand it's a controversial thing to speak about, and I know it has affected a lot of people, but why don't we just come down to compliance?
Yeah.
Because road signs are not just placed there for decoration. They are there either to control you, to command you, or to prohibit you, or to inform you. So why don't we just comply while the ministry is trying to weigh its possible options, and then if we come down to tables like this, I think we'll have better solutions. But for now, I know a lot of people are playing a blame game, but equally the road users, including myself, we are equally guilty when it comes to things like this.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Let's cross over to other topics other than the speed humps. That was just a passerby,
okay,
a starter,
but I
something.
I still had a question, man.
Okay.
I wanted to find out, but did the minister actually say that the speed humps were put there because of that, the accidents on the road, with the pedestrians?
I think that's what he said.
Because when I heard Amushelelo talking about it, because for me, I only heard it from Amushelelo, and he was just talking, and he was like, no, there's no reason. They didn't even tell us why they are doing it. We don't even understand why it was that and all that. So I also just don't know if that was the reason. Like, was it the accidents that made them do that, or it was another reason? Because I haven't actually followed that story as well.
I think it's because of the high accident rate on the highway. That's what they made. Perhaps that's the primary reason why.
No, it's a fact that at that specific area, not only that one, a lot of pedestrians have been run over, and a lot of breadwinners' lives were ended on that specific area.
Yeah.
So it didn't just start from that point. It started when they placed I think police officers that were stationed there to control the flow of traffic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But then they now resorted to installing speed humps. But okay, if the speed humps are temporary, let's wait until such a time we have
a better solution.
It's good to say temporary, but there's no date to say, okay, they will be removed.
Yeah. And that temporary is what can mean a whole year. Yeah. So please,
exactly,
calm down.
That's why I'm saying, like, the drivers, man.
Yeah, but let's get back to to understanding. Yeah, let's get back to understanding. Mm-hmm. Look. The problem is here that we have so many high accident rates. We have limited access to quality driver education, mm-hmm, and we have weak enforcement and regulations, and then we have these socioeconomic impacts. Look, still, I still stand with what you just told me.
Mm-hmm.
75 But that was last year.
That was 2 years ago.
Yes.
That was 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, but
that's when the CEO of the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund said that.
But road accidents still is the leading cause.
Behavior.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Still the leading cause of death in Namibia.
Yeah.
So we need to have a conversation about it. I don't know when we will sit around the table and talk with the ministries and all those relevant authorities that are championing road safety.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's high time we have a serious conversation about it.
Yeah. I think conversations are happening, or perhaps, I don't know, perhaps maybe we need new ideas. And of course, I know, I'm certain that the stakeholders are open to such conversations, you know. Mm-hmm. And not just conversations, but implementation as well. Perhaps let's go further than awareness. Because when we're talking about awareness, I can almost say a lot of awareness goes into it, especially around Easter holiday, end of the year, December time, you know.
That brings me, sorry to cut you short.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the greatest reduction in preventable road deaths come from integrated, sustained strategies rather than single isolated measures.
Mm. Yeah.
If we look carefully, we have so many single isolated measures. Like, for instance, the only time that we have road safety campaigns, it's when it's festive seasons, it's when there's a holiday, people are traveling to different destinations and stuff. But are they integrated? I mean, is it sustained?
Mm-hmm.
Is it integrated? Is it really something that we keep doing every now and then, or is it only when the roads are busy?
And I can tell you that the stakeholders involved, they will tell you that it's throughout the year. But then I guess from the perspective of the public, they don't see it.
They don't
see those, you know, efforts throughout the year.
They don't.
Yeah.
And we need to educate our drivers. And if we come, like, for instance, the course that I've created,
mm-hmm,
if we make it a priority that every driver should go through this course, you will reap different results.
Obviously.
Yeah, but
knowledge
now,
is power.
Yeah,
education is power.
It all comes down to education. We need to start educating our people, and mm-hmm, only then we can.
Mm-hmm.
Really, we can do it. I have a positive mind. We can achieve those goals.
Yeah. I have a burning question on my heart. Please, can I ask this question before I ever get it? Okay. You know, the issue of, I'm not so sure if it's a question or it's a statement, then you can elaborate further. There's the thing of people buying driver's license, right? Mm. And
is that still happening?
Of course now. Didn't you read recently in the news? Anyway, before we get to that story, if we are going to get there, you know, this issue of people buying driver's license and obviously bypassing the learner's license, perhaps maybe they've, some of them, okay, they failed, they attempted the learner's license, they failed a couple of times, and then they just decide, hey, you know what? I'm going to buy my driver's license. And some people don't even attempt at all, you know?
Yeah.
In other words, they give up before they even start. Mm-hmm. And I want to really put this out and say, I appreciate that your own courses are targeted first to the learner's license, to get a learner's license, because I believe in foundation, because if the foundation is out of course, you can't build from the branch, you know, you need to get to the root of the matter.
Yeah.
So I speak to that taxi driver that is already planning, who drives without a driver's license and is planning to accumulate a lot of money and try to get his way or bribe his way into getting a driver's license before he even tries to get it the legal way.
Okay, now I'll speak of a little background of where I'm coming from.
Okay.
During my time of being a licensing officer at the Roads Authority, I was once arrested because somebody pretended to be Shehama. You know when we are doing all these briefings when the students come and book for their learner's license, we were required to have name tags on. So most of the fraudsters and scammers knew our names very well. So when you're filling in your form and you fill in your contact detail, somebody that is sitting next to you is busy copying your details. And then they call you and they pretend to be one of us and say, no, look, I'm Shehama. I'm calling you from Natives. And you know you have read a Shehama name. So I was once arrested because apparently I have told... It was actually three cousins that came to book for their learner's license, and they were told they need to pay 2,000 for the three of them, and the 2,000 includes the learner's and the driver's license. I mean, how dumb can one be?
Sounds too good to be true.
So, but then looking at the reasons why most of the people are giving up and those that are looking for shortcuts, it's because most people are lazy to read.
Thank you.
Yes. Some of them are lazy to read to understand.
Yes.
If you do not read to understand, you will fail. And this is why I came up with this academy to teach people to understand. There is no point of you memorizing, reading something to memorize for you to obtain a document. But at the end of the day, you do not understand what you have just read.
Yeah.
It might work for you. But should we now issue you a driver's license and then we put you on the road, what would then happen? That now comes down sometimes when I teach these things on TikTok, people inbox me and say, please make a way. And what?
Yeah.
I'm like, why are the people looking for shortcuts? I think in 2018, we had a lady that got a job offer.
Yeah.
But part of the requirement was that she was given a certain period of time to obtain her driver's
license. And it created pressure.
Yeah, and it created so much pressure on her. And then she got so desperate. And then she tried for the last time. I think that video is circulating everywhere on social platforms. That lady was crying her eyeballs out. She felt, because she was told, if you don't provide a driver's license within this period of time, unfortunately, will terminate your contract.
Aww.
So people, sometimes we wait for these desperate measures and we wait for you to get an employment. Yeah. Times to become desperate. And then that's the time that we want to rush in, try and look for shortcuts. And in the process, we lose money. So some of these people inbox me or call me, sometimes I look at them and sometimes I feel like, do they even have an idea of what danger there would be after I've issued them a learner's license or a driver's license? Because it's not just about you. We have heard of stories, people buying licenses, but if you put like, for instance, people that go to South Africa to obtain this CE driver's license in South Africa. If that person comes back to Namibia and they want to convert their driver's license, and if you put that driver on the truck and say, look, I know you have obtained your driver's license from a foreign country.
Please drive.
Please drive. Show us that you can drive. The person couldn't even, some of them couldn't even start the truck. They don't even know how to start the ignition of the vehicle. So it shows that it's a whole pandemic issue that needs to be tackled. But it's not a secret that there are really people out there that are looking for shortcuts. People are desperate. They really want to obtain their. I know and understand they want to obtain their documents legally, but at the end of the day, we also need to look at these mitigating factors on how to make it easier for our people. You know, I understand the learner's license theory test is designed to make you fail. It's designed to challenge you.
To make you fail?
Yes, to challenge how you think, and then if you don't get it, you fail. That is why I get people that will tell me, look, I've been to Natives more than 20 times and I'm just failing with the same point.
A learner's license.
And I'm telling them, no, you just need an extra person.
Maybe they just don't read. And I'm sorry to say that, but when I was reading my learner's license the very first time, I prepared and that's me. I am afraid to fail. That I can tell you.
Exactly.
The way failure pains my heart. Nay, I'm sorry. So I will make sure that I prepare so that painful part of I failed. That doesn't. So I remember I studied for probably more than 2 months or so. I don't know. I studied for a long time. That I knew for sure. And then eventually I told myself, okay, let me just go right. If I fail, it's okay. At least I have an idea of how they ask. Uh-huh. And that was 2015. That was the first time I actually went there. I went there and I scored, was it 90 something? And I was like, wait, it's not that deep. No, really. I've opened the learner's license book myself. And because of my lack of inconsistency, I feel like, you know what? For me to actually study this, let me teach someone else. The only parts where I struggle with is what? The roads. The ones on the what are those ones with the yellow markings?
The road markings and then rules of the road. That's where most of the people struggle.
That's where most people struggle. Yeah?
But lucky for you, you're ready to understand. But there are really, there are really people out there that are struggling to understand these things. This is why then we come in, we spend. And we spend so much time with them to try and explain everything, and until such a point they can really understand and have an idea of what their learner's license manual book teaches.
Yeah, and to add to that, Shehama, look, it's almost like as if you enrolled for NAMCO, right?
Yeah.
You failed perhaps your grade 12,
yeah.
And then now you enrolled for NAMCO, biology, and perhaps English as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you are now on yourself. You can decide not to go to class, but you're still going to write the exam.
Yeah.
And you're expecting to pass without going to see the tutor or going to see the lecturer during the holiday. How do you expect to pass? Really? You know, and there's that saying that I really like to use. If you keep doing the same things, you keep getting the same results.
Exactly.
If you failed already while you were even full time, that already shows that you need extra help.
Exactly.
So I don't understand how a lot of people bypass that. You know, I knew someone who was very close to me who was going to get his driver's license, and they knew how to drive already. So the advice I gave this person was, you know what? You know how to drive already, but I'm sure there's one or two or three things that you don't know. Still. It won't hurt to actually pay for driving lessons for maybe 3 sessions of that, just to learn the basics before you. The problem is, what's that saying? Failure to prepare is
preparing to fail.
Preparing to fail.
Yeah.
You don't just wake up and I'm going to write my learner's license. You didn't even ask anybody to help you. You didn't even ask anybody to help you with your driver's license. I mean, to getting any driving classes. And then you just wake up and then boom.
And actually, that point is very important. In fact, if you have learned how to drive without having gone through driving school, you are likely 99%. You are about 99% likely to not even know how to steer properly. because you learn how to drive on the street. Yeah. So there's a way that you need to learn how to steer. And I'm talking from experience because my situation is a bit different.
Yeah.
The time when I was growing up, I'm the last the last born at home, right?
Yeah.
So all my elder brothers who could drive, they had fled the country to go into exile, right? I was left with my mom, and my father was in Oranjemund working, going for the whole 12 months, only coming back for 3 months, and then goes back for another year, right? So, and he left a car at home, and my mom couldn't drive. And so I learned driving from the age of 11. So I would drive from the village to Otapi town and then buy the groceries or take my mom to do things and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned how to drive one time an older person just gave me to say, drive from here to there, but it was in Oshana. By the time I learned how to drive properly, I could see that a lot of things that I knew already how to do were the wrong things. I was not holding the steering wheel right. Yeah. I was not turning right. I was not
right.
You know, so many things. So I think a person who knows how to drive already
should at least go to the drivers.
They really need to go through school.
School, so just driving school.
Basics again and be re-educated and retaught these things again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
I know and I understand. You know, I've had so many students that, you know, they when they tell me their stories of how many times they failed at natives, you see, some of them are at the edge of giving up. But you shouldn't look at yourself as a failure, or because some even go to an extent of accusing the examiners at natives that no, these guys are taking our marks, they are making us fail and stuff like that. But it's, you know, they say the first step to getting help is to admit that you have a problem.
Okay.
So it's normal to go out there and look for help.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit with a problem that has been bothering you for too long and you are not reaching out for help.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we then decided to come up with this course to help those that felt they needed to give up, those that feel like natives examiners are making them fail.
Mm-hmm.
No, how can I be paying $160 every $150?
Yeah, but
every time I go there, I've gone there 3 times.
Yeah,
I've gone there how many times?
But it all comes down to education. Yeah, we all need to get the education. I mean, the proper help that we need in order to obtain the documents legally.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know what? Let's pause here and take a quick commercial and a musical break. We'll be back shortly. Please don't go anywhere. You never know. We're going to give away some tips on how not to fail your driver's and learner's license.
Yes.
Okay. On a serious note. Yes, we might just do that. Stay tuned.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi tayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijabo ili nawa ninge kwa Fanona, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Honore Tatime, Bali Heali, Nola Natu, Heali Bali, No Heali, Ileko Berewa, Nora Hetatu Natu, Bali O Hetatu Watatu, Oma Felane, Eagle FM, the I.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Some Duke on the vibe.
This year, blessing, money, testimony. Go to follow, 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 you they go.
This year, good news, diet, plenty, money. Go to follow, 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 you they go.
Everything I've been wanting, manifesting for my life.
Everything you've been wanting, manifesting for your life.
Even before you call, you don't answer prayer. My papa, you too sure, you don't fit for your head. Even before you call, you don't answer prayer. My papa, you too sure, you don't fit for your head. Blessing, money, testimony. Go to follow, 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 you they go.
This year, good news, giant, plenty, money. Go to follow, 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 you they go.
Only you in my life, the only thing that's right.
My first love, you're every breath that I take, you're every step I make.
And
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. And of course, this is Life Lessons. If you're just tuning in now, please, you're welcome. This is Life Lessons every Saturday from 1900 hours to 2100 hours. We're here to keep you company. And if you do miss out on this interesting conversation, perhaps you want to tell a friend or a family member to actually learn something from this conversation, download the Eagle FM app or head over to our website. That is Eagle FM website, and you can listen to the conversation over and over and over and again. Now, back to you, Mr. Shehama. Let's talk about grouping and understanding common leading causes of accidents. I know we spoke about human behavior, but that was really, I think, roughly on the surface of the water. Let's get deep right into it.
Well, thank you very much. Now, what we basically need to understand is that road accidents are grouped into four groups,
okay,
which are mainly human factors. And then we have environmental and road conditions. Then we have vehicle-related issues.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have systematic and behavioral gaps. Now, the last one is quite interesting.
Yes. Systematic and
behavioral gaps.
Behavioral gaps.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, let me quickly touch on human factors. And this is the common leading one, where we have things like driver fatigue and drowsiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have drivers that just want to be on the road, you know, working tirelessly, and you know you are tired, but you just want to keep driving.
I see it even in taxi drivers. It's not just long distances,
yeah,
but even in-house, within
locally,
the city,
yeah,
as well. Locally.
Yeah, you know that you are tired, but you're just pushing yourself until then the body just gives up.
People
and if there's one thing that you cannot cheat,
uh-huh,
it's sleep. You can cheat when the body shuts down.
Yeah.
When you want to shut down, it doesn't matter where you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you are behind the wheel, the body will eventually shut down, and that creates a very major accident. And then we have distracted driving, where now we have people that are driving and they are texting, they are on a phone call, somebody it's going through a breakup with a girlfriend and a boyfriend. You know, just to give an example, you are arguing on the phone, but you don't know that you're behind the wheel. You can easily get distracted, or you're changing your favorite song on the radio. These are some of the common distractions that we have observed.
Yeah.
And then we have now speeding. This one everybody knows about.
Mm-hmm.
We have men and women that think, me, from here to where, just 1 hour.
Mm.
But
you
do you
start boasting about
yeah,
it.
You start boasting about it, but do you know the danger that you pose on our national roads?
Mm.
We speed, and this is where non-compliance comes in.
Mm.
There are speed limits. There are minimum speeds and then speed limits, but we are still not adhering to road rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then comes alcohol and drug impairment,
mm-hmm,
where we have now people driving under the influence of alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
But still, I feel like we need now to look at the penalties that are imposed. We need more severe penalties, because if somebody got caught for drinking and driving today, this person goes to the police station, pays a fine, and then tomorrow the person is back to doing the very same thing. So it's a repeated behavior, and people become repeated offender, but nothing is really done about it. If I know I can source $8,000 from somewhere,
mm-hmm,
why would I stop? So and then we have failure to use safe equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Today, when I was driving, I told somebody, please put on your seatbelt. Somebody can simply just come into a vehicle and the first thing, and sit. They don't care about wearing a seatbelt. They don't understand how important the seatbelt is.
Do you know what's the mindset in many Namibians out there regarding seatbelts? I've learned this over time. Is that they believe in their mindset, should they get involved in an accident,
mm-hmm,
they will be entrapped in the vehicle because of that seatbelt. So and then they won't be able to get out. So that's the narrative behind why a lot of them don't want to use seatbelts. But they also forget that should they get into any accident, the seatbelt significantly reduces the amount of impact, yeah. You know, the impact that or injuries that they get to sustain in that vehicle.
It basically,
or even ejected out.
Yeah, it basically just mitigates the risk of the severity of the injury,
yes,
that you may sustain.
Yes.
So it has now become a behavior in so many people to only use seatbelts when going on long trips.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
locally, they feel like it's pointless. But it all comes down to education,
yes,
also, as I always say. Mm-hmm. Then we have aggressive and reckless driving.
Mm-hmm.
This one is common as well. And then we have non-compliance with traffic rules and regulation.
Mm-hmm.
That's where now the use of seatbelts and adhering to road rules and regulations comes in.
Yeah.
So let me quickly just touch on the last one, which is systematic behavioral gaps,
mm-hmm,
where we have failure to obey traffic rules, and then we have like, for instance, somebody running red lights or making illegal turns. And then we have road rage and aggression, which the co-host just spoke on.
Mm-hmm.
It's each and every week we see videos of people fighting on the road. Somebody has made a genuine mistake, and then the first thing that you want to resort to is insults that,
exactly,
that are going to trigger
with their mother.
Yeah,
yo, taxi drivers.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, but mostly, really, look. It's disrespectful. And if you have kids in your car, for instance,
exactly,
what are you teaching them? I personally have been in a vehicle where it was my brother-in-law was we were driving all the way from the north, right?
Mm-hmm.
From the north to Windhoek. Never once did I hear that man complain about other people. No, he just navigates. You understand?
Yeah.
And I like that. And then you get drivers who everything they are complaining. They complain
hooting
about everything. They are hooting.
They are shouting.
Can you just be? And I like the word you've been using throughout this conversation. We're not patient with one another. Can we be patient with one another? Mm-hmm. What if the next person is going through so much? You know, you spoke about mental issues earlier in the beginning of the conversation.
Yeah.
Perhaps they just got a phone call that their loved one passed on or something, and they are going there. And here you are with, you know, all your negative attitude and negative behavior. It's uncalled for.
That's where ethics and attitude coach comes in from our course.
Yeah. Mm.
If we make it a priority, mm-hmm, and to make it what is the word? Why is my English depleting? It's been a long day. What is the word? If we make it compulsory for
the
drivers.
Oh.
For all the drivers to go through the course that we have come up with, I think we are going to produce responsible drivers, and not just responsible drivers, but drivers that are coming from an informed point of view.
Yeah,
I think it all comes down to education at the end of the day, because if we looked at some of the videos that we have received this week, it's even people going to a point of pointing firearms. Just because somebody has made a mistake, and then you pull out a firearm, you want to fight, you are throwing all these beautiful words called insults, just because.
No, they're not beautiful.
Yeah. I just don't want to use the
words.
Other. Yeah. I
Let's
just don't want to use
ugly words.
Yeah. But if we start looking at mistakes, some mistakes as just somebody has just made a mistake.
Yeah.
And then we correct it, and then we move on.
Mm-hmm.
I like what, our previous, general inspector,
Joseph
Shikongo, what he mentioned, that it's not always that traffic officers need to issue tickets. It's they need to learn how to educate the drivers. Okay. But I know there are mistakes that one can resort to educating, but there are some mistakes where we feel like you're really just doing this deliberately and we need to issue you a ticket so you learn your lesson. But at the end of the day, if this course, I have no doubt in my mind, if we sit with the leading entities, with the traffic department, with the Ministry of Education, with the Ministry of Works and Transport, and then with the Roads Authority, I think we are going to have a beautiful thing. And then maybe preventable road accidents are going to be a thing of the past.
Yeah. Let's talk about incorporation of the kids, teaching them while they're young. Mm-hmm. Although there is, I've come to realize, okay, at the particular school where kids would be, these are basics that we are taught. Green means go, red means stop, orange means wait.
No, proceed with caution.
Oh, proceed with caution.
Yes.
Look at me. Anyway, so let's talk about incorporating the young ones really into this. And I was very surprised that the other day I was at the library only to find a book by the Roads Authority of Namibia meant for grade twos, grade threes. And I was like, why hasn't this been rolled out? Maybe it was one of those implementations and it just, I don't know. Why is this not being distributed in the schools? Or if it's distributed maybe in certain schools only, a book, literally a book to teach children about road safety. Teach them while, it would be nice to teach them while they're young.
I tell you what.
Yeah.
I questioned the, I wrote to the Ministry of Education, and my idea was rejected because there's an existing program to teach the kids. But now
it's not effective.
Yeah, but if you go and ask,
yeah,
what results have that program produced?
Mm.
Is it effective? And if it's effective, how, what result has it produced?
Yeah.
Because I understand we want to teach our kids from an early age, but if we need to start, we need to be quite strategic. We need to start looking at the age groups. Like, for instance, somebody that is turning, let's say 14, 15, 16, 17. Those are the age groups that we need to target.
Yeah.
I mean, a 2 year old boy or girl.
No, if we continuously do it.
Yeah, if we can continuously do it, but let's leave the 2 years and the 3 years old.
Yeah. No, not 2 years old. Yeah. Grade two. That's my grade.
Let's
That's
start looking.
Like 8 years old.
I think if we look at the specific a number or group of ages of kids that we can see that they are a target, and then we look at that completely, and then we also run jewels here and there where we send these kids to, we test them in school, we roll out natives to go and teach and test these kids in high schools and what. I think it will work, but if we just have an existing program that has not produced any results, I don't think we know what we are doing. Of course it was a beautiful idea, but if something was implemented and it has not yielded any results, then I think we need to go back to the drawing table, go back to the drawing board, and then look at the appropriate groups of students that we need to target.
Interesting.
Yeah, just talking about that one, I think I see where the issue is with the school system, because number one, even if that program exists in the schools, it falls under what they call what do you call these subjects that don't get tested? Like the children don't get write exams on this
life skills?
No. They are called civic education.
Yeah, it's part of civic education, really.
Yeah.
Non-examinable subjects. You know, the extra subjects that like religious and moral education. Non-promotional subjects. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, so because of that, number one, the teachers don't really take it seriously when it's that.
Yeah.
It's a non-promotional subject because there are no marks that you need. Well, I mean, they do produce marks. They do tests and all that. But they don't, but because it doesn't come in the, like a person cannot fail or pass it.
Yeah.
So even if you are a teacher and you're teaching these non-promotional subjects, it's very easy to not take it seriously, you as a teacher in the first place. Yeah, and then exactly. The learners also learn the same psychological thing, you know, to say, this subject is a non-promotional, so why should I take it seriously?
Yeah.
So I think we need to come up with incentives. For school children, if you come up with incentives, they will love that, you know. So you make even some schools to compete. Like I remember this year I participated in the City of Windhoek's fire brigade thing.
Okay.
Fire safety quiz. Yeah. It was a quiz. There were different schools in Windhoek.
Yeah.
Went. I think it was about 20 something schools that went to compete against each other.
That's beautiful. I mean, we can do that. The same with road safety. Mm. If you know, road safety is not a thing that should be combated by road safety advocates, entities like the National Road Safety Council.
Mm.
You and I equally have the responsibility to make sure that we are safe road users. Mm. So now, if we roll out these kind of programs to communities.
Mm-hmm.
And communities compete against each other, like region per region. I think we are going to yield very beautiful results, because now it only becomes an issue of the Ministry of Works and Transport, the National Road Safety Council, the Roads Authority, as the affected road users. But equally, we share the very same responsibility to make sure that we combat all these preventable road accidents.
You know what? Something that's coming to my mind is continuous education to the drivers.
Exactly.
You spoke about education, a very important aspect. I mean, if we look at health practitioners, for instance, or even many professions out there, you are required to be up to date all the time with what is new, what is on the market, what is relevant to make your work better and your work easier. Because you might as well be using a technique that is already outdated or has been phased out, and there's a new technique. Isn't it the same with driving? You might be, you know, maneuvering the old way of doing things, but there's something new. There's something new that you need to know. I think if there is, then the process of continuous education, maybe when you're going to renew your driver's license, you have to still go through education, but not the way it's just being put out, not the way the usual way of you go and learn how to drive, but rather real education on what's on the ground now, you know?
Yeah,
it makes absolute sense.
So, one other question. So, how does your academy work in terms of, if somebody wants your help, what do we need to do as listeners out there? Like, what are the steps? What do we need to do? Who do we call? You know, and things like that. If we want to enroll in the course,
we have a page on TikTok.
Okay.
Currently, the most followed page on TikTok. But you know how many followers I have?
How many followers do you have?
I only have 9,000 followers. But I'm so grateful because I'm so grateful because
that's an impact, bro.
Yeah.
That's an impact.
Yeah.
9,000 people is a lot of people.
Yes, it's quite a lot, and I'm grateful for the people that are always on there. Sharing and reposting and double dipping the screen. Yeah. You know, sometimes when I'm behind the screen, I'm always, guys, please follow, please double tap the screen, share the live. And sometimes I lose sleep. It's just because I really want to educate. So we have a page on TikTok that is called Oracle Driving School.
Mm-hmm.
It's our page on TikTok. And then but this is my personal number that I'm giving out. I don't have any other number that they can reach me onto. Mm. The number is 081-49-57-156. I repeat, 081-49-57-156. Yeah, so that is how they can reach me.
Okay. So what are the steps? Like, if we call you, or if a person calls you and they are really interested in enrolling in the course, what are the steps? What do you do first?
Well, basically, we have an application form that you need to fill in.
Okay.
First, we roll out the application form.
Yeah.
But the application form will not be shared with you if your payment has not been received and confirmed. Because we have had an experience of people that will just called for different motives. They have different motives behind, but we always try to be professional, but you'll get those that are trying here and there, but, we first, roll out an application that you need to fill in, and you'll give us consent to, for the money that you have, paid to us. We also do not take money that we have not accounted for. We also do not take money to that you just want us to keep, and we call you to come and attend the lessons. We don't like doing that.
So it's my responsibility to pay my money. Once I pay, I should be on your case, right?
Yes,
I should be the one that's coming.
Commercial break.
Okay, right.
Hold on. Just let me finish my story. As I was saying, my man, you've been finishing your story for 10 minutes now. Even my tassies is getting warm.
Just give more eyes. Anyways, long story short.
When you're talking, it's a short story long.
Short stories turn long. Go Best Together with Tassenberg. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Something good gonna happen in this year, and I am grateful that I made it here. Yesterday's gone and a new day has appeared, and I am grateful that I made it here. Blessings gonna find me here. Oh yeah. Favor gonna find me here. Oh yeah. I miss the money gonna find me, blessings gonna find me, Round and round, these seasons I've been facing, but this year, your blessings I'm embracing. Hey, healing have you come my way, blessings have you come my way. Winning and we here to stay. Is the blessings me say will find me here. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm Mr. Favor gonna find me here. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell them the money gonna find me here. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm Mr. Blessings gonna find me here. Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Tell them me claim it. All of my blessings me name it. With faith me I go on it. Nothing shall get on it. Speak like it is a new day. All things in my past, yeah. Welcome to the new year. Me step out in faith and no fear. Blessings go find me, yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm Mr. Favor gonna find me here. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Money gonna find me here. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm Mr. Blessings gonna find me here. Oh na 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 na.
And we are back, and I know I'm so sorry. I get a little bit selfish when the conversation is very interesting, and most of the times, if all not, all the times, conversations are always interesting right here on Life Lessons. But then the studio line is open, 083-288-401 is the number in studio. I repeat that slowly, 083-288-401. So please come through and air opinions and contributions, perhaps ask questions on 083-288-401. You know why I'm repeating it three times? One time I was listening at the radio and they mentioned it only once or twice and I'm like, I didn't hear it.
And they do it so fast.
Yes.
Perhaps you should do it every commercial break.
Yeah, after. Okay, fine. Okay, cool, yeah. So really, the issue about effective driving, right, stems from the foundation of it.
Yes.
That's what I can really say. And I like how you pull it out that it's not just stakeholders that have their parts to play in terms of road safety and all that, but rather you and I as an individual, even as a passenger who doesn't drive, I have my parts to play as well. Yes. I have the right to report a driver who's driving very badly. But you know, Shehama, you, sp- You spoke earlier in the very beginning of the conversation that you witnessed an accident yesterday.
Last night. Yes.
Do you want to tell us about it?
It's quite a traumatizing experience because the only thing that I could do to help the victim,
yeah.
It was actually a pedestrian that got to run over,
yeah.
Quite close to the SWAPO headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a vehicle driving so fast, like in the middle of the two lanes, right between the dividing line. And then I looked at this guy trying to cross the road over to the left. And the next thing I heard was boom. It was so a loud sound that I heard. And then when I looked through my rear view mirror, it's somebody lying on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I immediately stopped my vehicle and I parked on the far left. No, on the far right. Because I had to turn my vehicle around and parked on the far left. I could not contain my tears and I couldn't look at that person twice.
Mm.
So now I now tried this. I could tell that Tate is under the influence of, okay, I don't know, something.
Yeah.
The Tate is denying that he ran somebody over while I saw it with my naked eyes.
Mm-mm.
And he's trying so hard to get away from the scene. Fortunately, there was an off-duty police officer who came, tried to help me to secure the scene, because it was chaos. Now this person is bleeding out. You can't even perform CPR on this person because the person is bleeding like everywhere.
Profusely.
And it's his, I feel like his bones are broken everywhere. So then now I tried to stop the perpetrator from getting away from the accident scene, and I'm trying to make sure that this person is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very, very traumatizing scene. And what is more disappointing was that it took 44 minutes for an ambulance to be dispatched to come and pick this guy up.
Right from next door?
From the hospital. 44 minutes. And another sad thing is, for over 3 hours, there was no police officer on the scene except the off-duty police officer who came and left. So it was just me and the another Yengo driver and other three drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Three passengers from the
Yengo. Yeah.
And then we try now to secure the scene, try now to direct traffic to move from, like, to divert away from the scene. So no one was held accountable. Do you understand it?
Mm.
Except for the person who's now, I don't know what has happened now. When I called this morning, we were told that he's in a critical condition because I think he also had a spinal injury because there was a bone sticking out of his back.
Oh my God.
So we tried to contain the scene, secure it until finally the ambulance came, and then we tried to wait for the police. There was no traffic officer until then. Everybody decided to go their separate ways. That's how weak our enforcement is sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can now imagine this can happen in the city of Windhoek, where we have so many traffic officers, vehicles running around.
They say the police are there, yeah, when you don't need them.
Yes, exactly.
When they are needed, they are not there.
Exactly. Now, if this can happen in Windhoek, imagine what would happen if there's an accident between Mushivarongo and Okanya.
On that long stretch,
yes,
of the road, yeah.
So these are some of the things that we need
to address.
I was so traumatized and disappointed at the same time, because maybe this person is a nobody at the end of the day, but this is a human life.
Somebody's dad, somebody's son, yeah, somebody's brother.
This is somebody's
brother.
Son, somebody's brother. But
nobody's useless in this life that I've come to realize.
Exactly. And I know it's a very sad thing to speak about, but at the end of the day, this is how we lose innocent lives at times. this is how people get away with crime.
Yes.
Imagine somebody just driving away from the scene.
Trying to deny
that he has not done it.
Somebody else.
Exactly.
This cannot sustain any damages.
The guy has sustained a windscreen injury, but damage. But he's claiming that it has been like that. When I saw it with my own eyes.
My goodness.
I mean, how can more than seven people be against you when we all saw everything?
Yeah.
But you are claiming that because there are no police officers on the scene.
Are there cameras around him?
I think the guy that was being accused went to the city police today, and then the view of the camera that is at the intersection between the SWAPO headquarters and then the Katsura Hospital, that intersection there, couldn't really reach. It was out of view.
Yeah.
The accident scene was out of view from that. But he was advised that there are cameras that at the SWAPO headquarters, and I don't know. I don't really want to speak
of course.
Yeah. Maybe they will find a way to maybe speak to the relevant authorities to see how they can help the whole thing, because there's no way. Somebody has to be held accountable.
Of course. Yes. And you know what? This brings us back to those vehicles so people were speeding. And you know, sometimes people who have nice cars and have money and have status whatsoever become very, how must I put it? They put their lives at risk and other people's lives at risk as well.
Exactly.
They drive recklessly. You're speeding. I mean, this is a vehicle, a machine that can roll over anytime. Anything can happen anytime. You don't love your life that much. You really just want to feel the moment of speeding and racing and all that kind of stuff. I think it requires also maturity. When are we going to grow out of this? And I know this is mostly a man issue, an ego issue, a pride issue. But I think we tend to forget that other people who had that same behavior died the same in that very same way, being prideful, being trying to show off that I can reach in so-so-so place within an hour. Yeah. It's no man.
It's that's attitude and ignorance.
Yeah.
If we can't change our attitude on the road. If we can change how we, if we can't transform from the way we think, you know, as I said, our programs are not transitional; they are transformational.
Mm-hmm.
If we do not want to transform our and shift our mindset,
yeah.
You know, it all comes down to a mindset. If you do not want to change from that mindset of thinking your vehicle is faster than any other vehicle that has been driven before you.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll continue struggling with the very same problem. So it all comes down to our attitude, our driver's attitude. As much as you feel like you are untouchable or you are well known or you have all the money that you probably use to fight in courts, and either way, somehow, some way you are touchable. There is no person that is untouchable.
No way.
There is no way. Mm-hmm. Somehow, some way. You will meet your match.
Exactly.
Exactly. So it all comes down to our attitude and also to do away with this ego thing and change the mindset.
True. Okay. Another thing I wanted to ask you on is, I don't know if we really touched this already, but I think we did, but let's hear from you. What strategies does Namibia need in order to combat road accidents? I know education is one of them, what do you want to add on that?
No, what I would add on that is that Namibia needs integrated, sustained strategies rather than single isolated measures.
Okay.
Look, like, for instance, our traditional way of licensing our drivers is one of the many things that we need to look at.
Yeah.
For instance, I get my learner's license today. Tomorrow I'm behind the wheel.
Yeah.
The next day I'm
driving long distance for that matter. You just got your driver's license.
I'm on the road, probably transporting goods from from Namibia to South Africa. But you know, it's may be, it's may that be, we still have those gaps that we need to fill. Because the drivers, I mean, the driving school doesn't teach you about the road ethics.
Mm.
It doesn't teach you about stress and anger management.
Mm.
It doesn't teach you about the digital wellness and distractions while you're driving,
mm.
just to mention a few. So it all brings us down to doing away with a traditional way of licensing our drivers. So we can really educate our drivers on so many aspects of life. Driving, I mean, driving is not just about moving a vehicle from point A to B.
Yeah.
There are so many integrated things that we need to do. Just so we mitigate all these preventable road accidents.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a friend of mine and I can really vouch for her to say she's a very good driver.
Uh-huh.
Hi, even if we're talking to her and you say, look at that building, this doesn't, she's like, happy, don't distract the driver.
Exactly.
<You know? laughs> She does not want to turn her eye. And she tells me, this is wind of my friend. The moment you just turn your head to look on the other side, boom, accident. Your eyes have to be fixed on the road all the time. You
exactly.
Know? Really distracted.
And if you read your learner's and driver's license manual book, on the duties of a driver, it does not just speak about a driver. It also speaks of the general duties of a passenger in a vehicle. So, but if you ask most of the licensed drivers, if you even ask them, what are your general duties of a driver?
Mm.
Let's say in an event of an accident, what is then expected of you?
Mm.
They will be mumbling. They wouldn't even remember what they have read from the learner's license book. Mm. But if we do these refresher courses,
refresher courses. Listen, some of us, it's been too long.
Yeah,
you got your driver's license 25 years ago. And
exactly.
And a lot of things have changed between then and now. So
exactly.
We need refresher courses.
That's what I'm saying also, when it's time to renew your driver's license, which is after how many years?
Five.
After every 5 years.
Yes.
Then let there be a refresher course, you know?
Yeah, but we shouldn't penalize and punish driver,
shouldn't
existing
really
driver.
Mask, yeah.
But it's just a refresher course where you for instance you get a certification when you complete a certain course. After a period of time when it expires, then you go and renew it.
Yeah.
I think it's going to help us a lot. Now,
which can be from your end, not really a must.
No. If we make it compulsory, it's going to work.
Exactly.
But if we make it now from your end, it's now we'll look at people differently, because the certain group of people like want to be responsible informed drivers. The rest they take their hands off and say, no, I really don't want to do that.
And we want the whole nation on board.
No, actually,
exactly.
Actually, the incentive that I've seen in the UK, what they do is if you have been living accident free, your health, your car insurance drops.
Exactly.
But now in Namibia, if we can bring...
They're looking at that too now. They're looking at that now. Insurance companies.
But
insurance companies, if they are given a proper incentive also themselves in terms of the tax rebates, then it will help. It will work. Because now if you say, okay, all the drivers who have not caused an accident in the last 10 years should have lower insurance depending on the car.
It's working like that. If you have, depending on how, when and how you had an accident, you are like a risk, so you pay more.
It's a thoughtful idea, but I've also read on the newspaper there was a proposal that they should punish the newly licensed drivers.
Why?
To do what?
To like, for instance, if you're a repeated offender in any traffic offense, and then they suspend your license for a period of time, but that only applies to new drivers. Now I'm like, what about the old drivers? if somebody really thought thoughtfully with the idea, or they're just putting out those. But I strongly recommend a temporary suspension of drivers. Mm-hmm. Of driver's license, because there are so many repeated offenders that are out there that are just doing things because they think they can go to a court of law and then pay a fine and then they are back on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So That's what I spoke on weak penalties. So if we come up with a way to amend and truly look at our penalties that are out there, I think most of the people would be afraid, but not so to instill fear onto our road users, but to just know that if I commit this traffic offense, then this would happen, and I would really think twice about it.
I think for me, maybe drunken driving, and bigger stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Those ones I think can be done, but and even over speeding.
Yeah.
You know. But I think there are certain other offenses that are much, much lighter.
Yeah.
And maybe with that. Oh yeah, I wanted to ask about your opinion on the KPI parking story in Windhoek, because I just found out recently that they are no longer accepting cash. The people who are collecting putting the tickets on the cars.
Yeah.
So now you swipe. Now to swipe, it costs what? About $12, I think, to swipe, or is it less than that?
Depends which bank.
Like you need to swipe.
Yeah.
For that ticket.
Yeah.
On the spot, like when they come there. So now you are paying the $8. Like if you are parking along Shoprite Road there, Independence Avenue, it's like $8.
Mm-hmm.
Now you swipe your card, so you get the charge for the swiping,
yeah.
And then you also pay the $8 for the thing. So it becomes very, very, and sometimes you park there and then you have to go to the Ministry of Education or somewhere else,
yeah.
Or City of Windhoek, and then pay your bill there. So you end up having swiped 4 times.
Yeah.
In one day, if you are running errands. So, and then they say, okay, if you have cash only, then you need to go to their office. Now, yeah. Going to their office means you need to find the office, find another parking spot, because, yeah. I mean, you're driving, you can't leave the car anywhere. So I just found it a little inconveniencing and a bit unfair as well on the driver. And I mean, the economy is not really that easy, so people are struggling to keep every dollar that they get. But now you are making people to swipe several times and go and find parking. Like you are parking at Shoprite, but if you have cash, you need to now drive to find their little office,
mm-hmm.
and then park there, look for parking again, and pay another amount to go and
imagine.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you don't pay before you come out, you need to pay when you come out. So I was like, okay, so how do I go? Now you are giving me a ticket at Shoprite. I go and find the KPI parking. Mm-hmm. I need to go and drive there and park there,
yeah.
And I leave the car with the ticket. Now what do I do again? Do I pay for 2 tickets now in there? Even the you know what I mean? It's just a bit funny.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It sounds controversial. It sounds like Tamba.
Like
Tamba.
Oh, guys, what's wrong with Tamba? I'm not complaining. It's you people that are complaining. Yeah. If I really want to take away, for instance, and I prefer, but I need somebody to tell me the best thing that I need to do, because I spend about $100 on a weekly basis, because I prefer the $100 away your data large, and that costs me $100.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if I probably have a $30, I qualify with a $70, because I mean, I've become a regular customer, guys.
Yeah.
Here and there. Mm-hmm. So I qualify with about $70, and then I'm like, oh well, I'll pay that $70 next week, and when next week comes, I top up with my bank account for $100, and then I'm owing, and then Tamba takes their money, and then I only have $16, and I can take another, I don't know, another 70 something, and so the process goes on.
Yeah.
So,
Now, getting back to the to the parking issue.
Mm-hmm.
I think I honestly I felt the pinch myself.
Nah.
But it's like they are now making their problem. I don't know if it's
our problem.
Yeah, they are making their problem our problem now. Yeah, I don't know if they don't have confidence or they do not just trust the people that are working.
I think the people have pocketed the money.
Yeah, but it's
still. I think the parking issue. Yeah, they
have just created another controversial problem. And then, also on another hand, we all go to town. We all need a parking area somewhere. Yeah. But getting charged from point A to B to C, you're just getting charged. Maybe they should reform their their way of doing things where maybe you pay maybe twice or maybe you just pay once.
Yeah.
A once off ticket. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
for,
yeah,
with a fixed, with a fixed fee. Maybe that would work, but now if I park here and there, all these areas, spots I'm collecting, tickets that I need to pay for, it's not so well thought of. And I know it's a money making scheme somehow, but it's not really conducive to society. They need to go back to their drawing board and rethink their idea of doing things. Mm-hmm. It's just so to say in brief, but they really need to revisit their strategies and come up with a way that is well accepted by society.
Because and a lot of these other guys who used to just help to direct cars to parkings in town have also lost their jobs.
Exactly.
So as you employ these ones, the ones who are now doing the tickets, the other people who are also, in need could not.
Anyway, let me ask about some things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps common, perhaps not so common mistakes that those that are the learner's license, hold on, those who are trying to get their learner's license, the mistake most people trying to get their learner's license make,
mm-hmm.
address those ones.
What I've noticed is that people have, most students have an attitude of approaching the exam room thinking that they know.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a nice
that's mistake number one. When you go to an exam room with an attitude of thinking that you know,
mm-hmm.
there are questions that will catch you off guard.
Mm-hmm.
And you, earlier you mentioned that if you don't prepare, then you prepare to fail.
Mm-hmm.
If you come to an exam and you are not well prepared, then you don't expect good results either way. So there's also an issue of reading to memorize.
Yeah.
Okay. You're memorizing. You simply don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
What you have read. And most of the people that are not reading from the book, they mostly rely on old
on the question papers. Yeah, and that's the mistake a lot of people make.
And exactly.
Actually.
You know, if you are so used to a certain question that sounds this way, the question might come in a different form. Like for instance, I was educating my students on a Farkasian arrow,
okay.
That indicates an increase of a number of lanes ahead. Now, the question would then come like, which road marking indicates an increase of number of lanes ahead?
Mm-hmm.
Then if you don't know the sign, you won't be able to tell what the answer is. Yeah. And then the question will
repeat. Because the answers look similar.
Yes. And the question will repeat itself like, which of the signs is a Farkasian arrow? And if you do not know, obviously you won't get the answer.
Yeah.
So most of the students read trying to memorize and when they go to an exam room, the things are turned around and they feel like, no man, this is not how I use.
They just get confused.
Yeah. They get confused. And also there's an circulating app.
Mm-hmm.
It's a learner's license app that is giving inconsistent and inconsistent answers.
Mm-hmm.
The answers are not the same.
Mm-hmm.
It can even tell you that the answer that you have entered is wrong, but if you go back to the book, it's a correct one. So I always advise my students that do not. I know most of the people want to exhaust all these possible options that they can use to obtain a learner's license, but rely mostly on the book. If you do not have the energy or the capacity to study on your own, try and get help. This is where we come in to educate the people, because there was a student that approached me and say, I just don't have the energy to study by myself. Each time I try to study, I get so weak and I just want to sleep. And I say, that shows that it's time for you to get a next person to try and help you and educate you.
Or inconsistency.
Yeah. So
you begin and then you don't finish.
Though they try to start something and they are so inconsistent, And it also comes down to the issue of procrastination. People are procrastinating a lot.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, there was a day I posted on my status to say, what happened to getting your driver's license this year?
Yeah.
And I was, I was almost canceled because most people came for me and they feel like I'm shaming them. But
really?
Yeah. But I'm just trying to motivate you to stick to what you have.
And really, we set these goals at the beginning of the year to say this year is this year.
Yes. That was like a reminder. Yeah, exactly. A reminder. But yeah. People always find something negative to say.
We all set these resolution things, but do we really stick to them? Mm. Like I always say, a driver's license is like a PhD.
No, honestly, it's a degree. I say degree. Well, I don't think it aspires PhD, but I say it's a degree on its own.
It's a degree on its own.
And I remember telling someone that, and guess what? Afterwards, they got a job.
Yeah.
They didn't have a degree, so they got a very nice job.
Exactly.
With their driver's license.
That's very true.
So nobody would really want to hire you if you don't have a driver's license, even if you are not required to be driving from point A. It always serves as an icing on the cake. They say, look, I got my driver's license. At least, look, can I please have a little bit of an increase because now I can drive from point A to B.
Yeah.
So it's these little things that we look at. When, especially the youth, we don't really take them seriously until such a time where you are so pressured, you have a job offer or your uncle has bought a very beautiful car and he's on retirement and now you are sitting home and you can't even drive.
Mm.
By the time you look up, your eyesight has also deteriorated. And then when you come to the office, you can't even read through the eye test machine.
Mm.
So we've developed this relaxed mindset that keeps postponing and procrastinating and saying, no, it's fine. I'll do it next year. Next year comes. Ah, man, I think. And then we are very good at looking at for excuses. You know, we are very, very good at looking for excuses to justify our ignorance and all that. But at the end of the day, let's stick to what works for us.
Okay. That's very nice. That's a good one. I don't want to dilute it.
Huh? Any last words, maybe, since
I don't want to dilute it at all.
Okay, so what's your message to the Namibian nation in terms of road safety and driving safely and the course? I'm interested in the course myself.
The course?
Even though you have a driver's license. Well.
Yes, I just want to see how
thumbs it goes. Up to you, Mr. Mm-hmm. Josephine.
Yes, ma'am.
We should know that road safety is a critical public health and a developmental issue in Namibia. But if we hold hands as a nation, we can achieve all that we seek to achieve. Other than that, let's be responsible drivers. Let's continue to be careful drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's also come from an informed point. Those that are really finding it difficult to obtain a learner's license, please do call me. please do contact me. Please don't go look for shortcuts. I repeat, my number is 081-4957-156. That is 081-4957-156. And, I think that's.
What about shortcuts?
No. They shouldn't go look for shortcuts. That's the least I would advise on. It's when you go look for shortcuts, you also look for a shortest way to your grave.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. And, unfortunately, you just don't take yourself. There are other innocent road users that are on there that we take along with, which is not fair at the end of the day. But when nature takes its course, who do we hold accountable if you are also not here anymore?
Yeah.
But let's be responsible drivers. Let's coexist. Most importantly, let's coexist on the road as road users. Pedestrians, drivers, and cyclists.
And learner drivers,
please. Mm-hmm. Be patient with learner drivers. We all have the right of way when we are on the road, and we share the equal responsibility to make sure that we protect each other. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I have to tell them for now.
this was really educational.
Yeah.
I have learned a lot. I've learned that I need to get a refresher course myself because I've been driving for too long and I've forgotten some of the road signs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in defensive driving, collision avoidance, all those things are really, really important for all of us as drivers. So
and first aid for drivers, please.
Yeah, in first aid.
First aid for drivers, very important because we could save so many lives.
Mm.
If we are trained as road safety ambassadors, as drivers, and also as first aiders,
yeah.
I think we will be able to save so many lives.
Yeah.
If imagine if every driver becomes a road safety advocate, a road safety ambassador. And then we spread the message to one another. Everyone is now careful. Everyone is educating
the next person.
I think we will meet the goal. We can. You see, zero crashes goal is easy to achieve.
Yeah. No?
And it starts with the basics, like education.
Hmm.
I want to say my observations about him.
Mm-hmm.
He speaks so calmly, and he has power to command a room to calm down. The last person I had who literally made me feel that way was the CEO of the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund of Namibia. That's Rosaria Martins-Hausiko.
Mm-hmm.
Having a conversation with her, you saw she's very calm. You know, I've observed this lady from far, and even coming closer to her, I've come to notice she's so calm. And she really has the power to command the room to be calm. Yeah. You have the same, what do you call it?
Aura.
Aura. Interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Nice.
Thank you very much, ma'am, for having me.
It's a pleasure.
And please do come back, you know?
I will definitely come back as soon as we launch the course, as soon as we get the necessary tools. I'll definitely come back on here. And we want to roll it out for free for trials and see what results it yields, because it's not always about trying to collect funds here and there, but when you give back to the people, the people also give back to you.
That's so true.
Yeah,
true.
So it's not always about funds and all that. It's about giving away and also just the edge to save lives. I think that will be enough.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And with that being said, we have come to the conclusion after this episode of Life Lessons. Please do stay tuned for other programs and also make sure that you tune in every Saturday from 1900 hours to 2100 hours only on Life Lessons with yours truly, Ndafa Happy Juju and
Mr. Joseph Atkishindi Andreas, and then our lovely guest.
Yes, Mr. Sheahama signing out.
Okay. Good night to you all. Please ensure that you do listen to this conversation again via our podcast or download the Eagle FM app. But otherwise, I'll see you next Saturday, same time, same place, same studio for another interesting conversation on Life Lessons. Good night.